Servicing hymn
number 307. June Godric, 556. And must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such soul-perplexing fear? Are these the blessings we expect? Is this the lot of God's elect? Boast not, ye sons of earth, nor look with scornful eyes above your highest mirth. Our saddest hours we prize, for though our cup seems filled with gall, there's something secret, sweet and all. 307th hymn.
upon the help of the Holy Spirit, I'll draw your attention to the General Epistle of James, chapter 1 and verse 22. The General Epistle of James, chapter 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The 22nd verse of the first chapter of the General Epistle of James. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I'd like firstly as help this evening to look a little at how we hear. Because God's word tells us on many occasions the difference in hearing. And I want to look at this as the Lord enables me this evening. Firstly, of how we hear, and then come to the necessity which is set before us in this text of not only being a hearer, but a doer of that which we hear. So firstly, how do we hear? We find in the Word of God this solemn word recorded, that the word profited them not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. We often hear many say throughout the land, if they don't get on well with a minister, well, we can't hear him very well. And find fault, maybe, with the servant of God. But you know, a real hearer of the word really examines themselves. I often come out of the pulpit, and there are times when I preach to myself. I come out and I think, now how have I heard? It's not just me I trust that is speaking. There have been a few times when I've heard the Lord's voice, even through our poor labours. But think how searching that word is. There was no faith found in them that heard the word. Now if there's faith in the hearers, there will be a receiving of that which is heard. Not that I mean they'd receive everything, but what they'd receive would be that which the Holy Spirit sweetly speaks to them and applies to them. Then again, I want you to remember that you're answerable before God of every hearing you have. Over the course of a lifetime where a person spends many years attending the house of God, they must hear ever so many sermons. How many times have you really heard the prophet? Because you must give an answer before God of every hearing, just as the servants of God have got to give an account of every sermon they preach. So it is a solemn position we're in, both speaker and hearer this evening, because we're answerable before God. I read just recently of an old minister who, giving address, a faithful address to his church and congregation, said this about the hearing. He said, the servant of God preaches, and faithfully preaches and enables the truth to you. And you've got to answer before God how you hear it. It makes a lot of difference how it's heard. Because sometimes we can put our own construction on it, and the servant of God may not have meant that at all. But he said this, and this is the point I want to drive home as help, that we should have to give account of how we speak it, and the hearers of the use they make of it. Not just what they hear, but the use they make of it. Because sometimes a hearer could hear a precious truth of God's word and make use of it themselves in their own way and in their own interpretation of it. So think of how do you hear? Now, I thought this evening regarding this, it's been with me since I got here tonight, of what the Lord Jesus said. You know, he spake a parable on this theme, and he likened the servant of God as the sower who went forth to sow. And he tells the as of the characters and the types of characters that he sowed to. He said that as he cast forth the grain, the seed, some of it fell by the wayside. Some of it fell among thorns. And some fell upon the rock. And others fell upon good ground. Now there's four types of hearing there. And the Lord Jesus opened it up to the disciples. And he tells them what this parable means. And I would remind you of it this evening. He says this. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. This is the seed. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Mark you, they hear the word. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. That's one type of hearer. Now I want you to remember that each one of us here tonight fall into one category of these four. Or another, myself included. Then, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. There are many today like this. Receive the word with joy. And these are they that have no root. When the temptation comes, they just fade away, he says, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. Is there not a falling away today? Many say, oh, but all you've got to do is believe. In a sense, that is right. But many imply that a person has it in their power to do this. They've got no power to do it at all. Those on the day of Pentecost that were brought to believe through the preaching of the Apostle Peter were brought to believe because of the blessed operation of the Holy Spirit working in them. The whole work was of God through Peter's preaching. They weren't like this. That receive the word with joy. I've no time for people whose religion begins with joy. A real character, their religion will be like the apostles, like David's, like dear Jacob. It'll begin with sorrow. They don't receive the word at the beginning with joy. They're in deep sorrow. Then it says, these have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. Oh, may we never be a hearer like that. Then he goes on, and then they that are like those that fell among thorns, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they heard, go forth, and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Are we like that? I know, I would add this, that many of God's dear people find that are real characters, they are left to themselves a moment and they can get into that condition and the things of time creep in and rob them of the times of hearing what they could have had. But then he speaks of the fourth character. But that, on the good ground, are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Have you ever kept the word you heard? They keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. Now how do we hear that? It's so important. How do we hear? Are we like any one of those four characters? There are three solemn characters there set before. But there is the fourth, and that is the family of the living God. What does God do with his word in them? He will so apply it to your heart and to mine by the Holy Spirit of God that it'll be life and power to you. Many of the dear old saints are now in glory. I used to love to read, and I still do, but to hear some of them speak of how the Lord had applied his word to them. And that word had been so written in their hearts that not all the powers of hell would ever erase it. Have you got anything that you've kept, what God has given you? Remember the husbandman, he casts his seed out. He knows not when it's where it's going to fall. Like us sometimes in the ministry, the servants of God, you know, we preach and we don't know why sometimes we are preaching like we are. It's just like the husbandman casting out his seed. Sometimes that falls in a place that you'd never expected. There may be a purpose, and if it's of God, there will be. It may feebly setting this before you tonight. How are you hearing? You look back through this year here in Swavesey Chapel. Has the ministry dried up? Or has it been life and power to your soul? Now there are times, I know, when the brook does dry up. There seems a time when everything has dried up. But where do you go when it's like this? Where did Elijah have to go? He had to look to heaven for God to feed him, to supply his need. I've often said at home, I was criticised once for saying it, but I stand by the point, and that is this, that I've said to my own flock, you know, if you're in deep trouble, pleading with the Lord for him to appear. I said, you keep taking it to the Lord, and you go up to the house of God on the Sabbath and you look for the answer to that prayer from the pulpit. And sometimes, you know, you have some sweet hearing times when you've gone up and the servants of God have known nothing about you at all, and you've gone home and you haven't just heard it while you've been there. The word has been life and power to you all through the next week. You kept it, you see. It's been so applied to you by the blessed Spirit of God. So what we find in this is the necessity of the application. Not just hearers only, but a doer too of what you have heard and I have heard. But I must pursue the point of this hearing. Then again, the Lord Jesus tells us in his Sermon on the Mount about the hearing. When he delivered that Sermon on the Mount, he likened them to these sort of hearers. At the end of chapter 7 in Matthew's Gospel, he says this, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Then he speaks of the other sort of character. Now we each of us are either in one condition or the other in this. But everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. See how solemn. Are you doing what you heard? Or are you amongst those that just hear the word and never do it? Because this is very solemn. But before I go far into that, I want to name this. There's a difference in hearing in this. Some just hear as they go to the house of God because they're there and hear it. There are others that hear as to eternity. They hear for their never-dying soul, so concerned that they might receive something from the Lord to stand them in good stead when they come to die. You look back through your hearings over the years. Has the word of God been made life and power to you? Do you hear as to eternity? I was talking to a dear pastor the other day at one of our chapels, and he's just lost one of his deacons, and he said to me, you know, that dear man used to hear for his end. He said it was such a concern to him to receive something from the Lord himself, even concerning his end and where he should spend eternity. Now there will be those hearing times that you'll never forget of your real sin. You won't leave it all on the chapel doorstep. There are times when I mourn, because I do. We come out of the pulpit or out of the chapel and it seems all gone. But there will be a few times when it'll carry you for years. There may be those of you that would say to me tonight, well, I've got a promise from God I received through the ministry of the Word. God so applied it to me that I should never forget it. Mr. Broome, the pastor at Southampton, said to me once about hearing, and he said, you know, friend, he said, there are those hearers that hear the word, and they not only hear it, but they do it. And he said, they don't forget what they hear because it comes from the Lord himself. He continually fastens it in their hearts, you see, by the Blessed Spirit. So what have you heard? And then, of course, there is the desire of what to hear. What do you desire to hear? The professor, he desires to hear an exposition of the truth. He desires to know it in the letter of it. But when it comes to the practical side and the experiencing of it, he doesn't want to know. He can hear. Sometimes he can put us to shame. Many of us would have to walk it out in what he knows of the Scripture. And he hears. But the walking of it out is a different thing. How do you hear? Do you hear the word only just with your natural ear, or is the hearing ear in your heart? Dear Lydia, she heard, you know, the apostle, not only with her natural ear, but she heard him in her heart. God had opened it, you see, to receive the word. I know there are several ways in which we could set that before you, because she not only had her heart open to receive the word, she had her heart open to her to show her all the filth and wretchedness and sad state she was in. But there was the opening of her heart to receive the word. She was no professor. She was a character that heard for eternity. Now that's the difference. There's a hearing with the natural ear, but there's a hearing with the heart. Now, how do you hear? Do you hear pleading that the Lord will give you something to go on with, to endure the temptations, to endure the trials? Do you hear because you want something from the Lord to confirm you that you're His? Really, if each of us were honest here tonight and after real things, what we want to know, and I know this poor sinner does, is from the Lord Himself to tell us with His own mouth that He has chosen us, and to confirm to us that our precious Christ suffered, bled and died for us. I know there are not many that want to hear that today, but if you are after real things, sinner, that's what you'll want to hear. You'll want the Lord to tell you. Those of you who are getting on in years, do you know that it's well with you? For a solemn eternity, do you come up here tonight and at other seasons saying, Lord, do give me something that I might know it'll be well when I come to die? They are good hearers, you say, of the word. And they not only hear it in their natural ear, but they hear it in the ear of their heart. And what they have too, from time to time, is the application of the word by the Spirit. Mr. Hammond often used to say in closing, when I was a lad, he used to say, friends, we need the application, and the application of the word. I used to think, what does he really mean in those days? But I trust I know a little now. That's what we need. If you're a real hearer, you'll need the applications in of God's precious word. But I must come to the other side. If time allows, I'll come back to this. Now, not only does he say about the hearing, being a hearer only, but he emphasizes this, James does. He says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Now, I've described to you briefly, only scratched the surface really, about the different sorts of hearing. Now, do you do what you hear, and do I? It's so easy for us to make excuses. I thought in coming here this evening of that solemn case of those that were bidden to the feast. They were commanded to come, for all was now ready. But what do we find? That those that were bidden began to make excuses. What excuse do you make why you don't do what the Lord has said? We find one had bought a piece of ground, another had bought 5 yoke of oxen, another had to go and bury his father. But he says, let the dead bury their dead. Come, follow me. Oh, sinner, you do what the Lord tells you. Now, this is not my word. It's what God has set before us in his truth, here in the word of God. Be ye doers of the word. Are you doing? On the day of Pentecost, the apostles set before them two things that they got to do. The first, when they were pricked in their hearts and cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? He says to them there, repent and be baptized every one of you. I know you'll say immediately, well, they got no power at all to repent. But I know this, if that was, and it was, the sweet operation, the Holy Spirit bringing them to cry out, their soul's desire was to repent. You look within you tonight, do you desire to repent? Sweet thing is repent. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than 99 just persons that need no repentance. Oh, ever cry that God would help you to repent, hourly. What we need, personally, each of us, if we're real, and in the church of God, and in the nation, is for God to pour upon us repentance. Repent. There will be no room for any pride in you or in me if God brings us to repentance. We'll be like the apostle of whom I am chief. Worst of sin. Now this is a doer of the word. There's repentance. Repentance means this: a turning away from everything of self and of the world, and a turning wholly to the living God of Israel. One old minister years ago, whenever he preached of repentance, he turned right round back to the people. He said, "That's repentance, a turning away from everything and a turning to God." But then again, it means too real sorrow of heart over sin. Do you mourn before God because of your sin? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only? It's no use saying, "Oh, but we got to repent," and there's no repentance in it. This word I must preach to myself, not only to preach it to you, but to do it. Repent hourly as the Lord helps us. But then again, the second thing he set before them was to be baptized. Have you done it? Quite encourages me that the Lord is sweetly working some of our causes. There are those brought not only to be hearers, some of them I've watched for several years, they're hearers of the word, but now they are endeavouring by the grace and help of God to do it. Not only in baptism, but in everything God commands. A dear man said to me at Cranbrook on Wednesday, he said, "You know, I feel so thankful that I obeyed the voice of God." He was getting on in years when he did. He was no youngster. But he said, "I feel so thankful now that I obeyed the voice." Was it not Samuel? I stand to be corrected over this. Samuel that said that obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is a blessed thing. Did not Paul and the other apostles exhort us, "Be ye as obedient children"? It's sweet for those of us that are parents to see our children obedient. It's sweet to see in Zion those that are obedient to God's word. God loves to see his children obedient. The Apostle Paul was. He was made willing to be obedient. To be a doer, you see, of the word. Have you and are you concerned that you might be obedient? Of course, really, a lot of the trouble is with the youth of today in the world is lack of obedience. We don't see many children in the world today that are real obedient children to their parents. I know a lot of it is lack of correction, and a lot of the fault lies with the parents in not teaching them and dealing with them rightly when they're young. But obedience is a wonderful thing. I've looked to one or two families of late, and I admire those children, how obedient they are. It's sweet to a loving parent to see a child obedient. Think how far greater so it is to the Lord. But so often we find excuse, like a child. This was found in Peter. there may be those of you here this evening that have heard the Lord speak this word, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and you haven't done it. You are like maybe Simon Peter when he looked upon John, when the Lord Jesus spoke this word to him. He says, feed my sheep, to Peter, feed my lambs. He says this three times, but look what Simon Peter, he looks at John. He said, Lord, what should this man do? But what did the Lord Jesus say to him? May the Holy Spirit say it to you. You may look at this person and that and say, well, what should they do? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. They were the words of Jesus. Follow thou me. Be ye doers of the word. Oh, do the word. Not just hear it, but do it. You do it. It's his to command, and yours and mine to obey. But be ye doers of the word. Just notice what it says previous to this. Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. God engrafts the word into the heart of this sinner, and they have to do it, you say. So what has he commanded you? What has he commanded you? The Lord knows within each of us here tonight what he's commanded. I think of that wonderful command that the Lord gave Paul to speak to Timothy. It was not only a command, it was a charge. There are times when God does give his people a charge of what they should do. And what was it? He says to Timothy in his letter to him, I charge thee therefore before God, now the charge came from heaven, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Preach the word, now what a charge. If God gives a man that charge from heaven, the day will come when he will have to do that. You have to be a doer of the word. Not just hear it, but to do it. Now, you know individually this evening what word you have heard from the Lord. And what you have done. But if this is right, I've set this before you this evening, you must be, and this is God's word, a doer of the word, not just a hearer of it. Because in doing what the Lord commands, the Lord will honour them that do. I think that word of God, that they that honour me, and when he does help you to honour him, he has promised these characters that they that honour me, I will honour. And he will honour them. But there's another case I want to just briefly set before you, and I'm leaving. And that is what the mother of the Lord Jesus said. She was a woman that didn't speak much.
But she spake at the marriage at Cana of Galilee a good word, you know. A good word to you, a good word to me. And it was a good word to those servants at the marriage feast. And it was this. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now those servants were commanded to get those pots to hold the water and to fill them with water. And in doing what he told them that would be profiting. And of course you know the Lord Jesus performed that first miracle there at the marriage in Cana of Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. Now doing what he instructed them, there was profit in it. If you do what the Lord instructs you and commands you, there will be profit. There will be profit. A husbandman or an employer of men will receive profit by his men doing what he says. Yeah, they do what he commands them. Otherwise, no work would be done if they didn't do as he commands. And so it is with a child. They will receive from the parents honor, favor, if they do what they're commanded to do. I know much of it's lacking today, and this is the reason why Zion's like it is, and the earth and the land is like it is, because there's not much obedience. But far greater so spiritually in our souls, God will ever profit them and honour them that honour him. Well, I've scratched the surface of a vast text. May we be profitable hearers of the word, and not just hearers of it, but doers of it also. May you and I be enabled to do those things that we hear and read throughout God's word.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £72.10, which you would be sincerely thankful. And at the special services last Monday, which collection was for the general section of the Gospel Standard Trust, the amount was £118.50. We will thank you, dear friends, for your great kindness. God willing, Mr. Brunker is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Parker next Lord's Day. Let us close by singing hymn number 236. June Austin, 56. Faith's the convincing proof, a substance sound and sure, that keeps the soul secured enough, but makes it not secure. Notion's the harlot's test, by which the truth reviled, the child of fancy finely dressed, but not the living child. Commencing to sing at the third verse of hymn number 236. Thank you. friends, that if any members of other Gospel Standard churches wish to commune with us at the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, they're welcome.
Now, Lord, we pray thou forgive all thy pure eyes have seen amiss, to own and bless that which has been right. Be with us as we gather around thy table, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore.